have a swollen prostate. You must see this. Top doctor reveals an astonishing natural...
Good morning, best family, friends, neighbors, any of you that are new to the podcast today, we certainly welcome you in this podcast. Come from the Bethsaida Church in Mahale, Texas, also known as the Beth, and we're so glad to have all of you join us in our podcast gathering. And for our usuals, amen, and we just ask you to pray for the pastor this morning. Y'all know I'm kind of doing everything by myself this morning. Gabriella is not here, and Cheryl is not here. I see her online, but she's not here. So I'm working everything myself. So there's no telling what lot to happen. So y'all just pray and try to stay with me. If things go off for a while or anything, we'll try to do our best. We already came on a little strange, but we're still here. So we thank God for that. So now let us just bow for a prayer. God, you are like just so awesome and great this morning, as you are every day. But you just amaze me every moment that I think about you. How good a God you are. Your mercy and grace, love toward us, and your sovereign and all-powerful God. God that created the whole universe, and yet your thoughts are about each of your followers. That's so amazing. So this morning, God, as I come in and we gather in this podcast gathering, I pray for each one that joins us and for those that will listen later to the tape of this, God. And I pray for all those churches that are open this morning, and pray that your word just go out and sinners be saved, lives be changed and enriched, and people grow. You're all we got, God. You're all we got, but I'm thankful you're all we need to make it. And you're such a special God. Who have I on earth but you? You are mighty God, an everlasting God and a Father. So we're just happy to have this time with you. Bless this time together. Make it profitable for all of us that are sharing in this time, God. Then just what your servant likes, and just fill in the gaps, God, so that I can do your will and help your people, and I can be also helped just by your presence. Can we just feel your presence again? Even though we're not together in one house, we still want to feel your presence, because you're a mighty God. So we love you this morning. Just be with us in this time of teaching and gathering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. We thank God for all of you chiming in. I saw a few of you earlier. So we're going to get right into the Word of God. And this is we're finishing our series from Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Dropping jewels. We're finishing this morning, and so we're on chapter 32. We weren't going to preach the whole book. We were just getting some of the ideas out as we went through a kind of an overview of the book. Some of the ideas out that we thought would be helpful to you. So this morning we're going to finish off, and we'll see what the Lord has to say to us as we begin the month of July. People. Be delayed this coming if it be his will. All right, in the Jeremiah chapter 32, we want to read verses 1 through verse 15. It reads, Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 1 through 15. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, "Why do you prophesy and say, 'Thus saith the Lord'? Behold, I will give the city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it, and Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hands of the king of Babylon, and shall speak and shall speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. Then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall until I visit him, says the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you, saying, buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver, and I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, son of Mashiah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed, before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. Then I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this purchase deed which is sealed and the deed which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may last many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses in fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. We ask a reading to the hearers and listeners to this holy word. We hope that you be blessed as we try to share to the best of our ability upon this morning God's holy word. Amen. We thank you so much. Now, I want to begin by saying the title for this message is Making a God Investment. Because I believe people can make investments. Sometimes we make bad investments. Sometimes we make good investments. Sometimes we make great investments. But as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we have the opportunity as his followers to make God investments. And I hope you'll understand what I mean when we get to the end of this time of teaching and sharing, what I mean, what the pastor means by making a God investment. When we look at what is going on in the text today, we know Jeremiah has been preaching to Judah, where the capital city is Jerusalem, for quite a long time. Amen. We're on Jeremiah 32, 1 through 15, for quite a long time. And he's been telling them to turn from their idolatrous ways. And when they would not listen and they turned their backs to God and refused to listening to God about the worshiping idols and other things that they were doing that were interfering with their relationships with God, we came to that point in time where God is now going to allow Babylon to discipline his people. It's not that Babylon could do this. Babylon would not be able to overcome Judea and Jerusalem if it wasn't for God using them as a tool to discipline his people for their idolatry, for their sinfulness, for their injustice that was in their city. So we see today, it's 1 year Judah failed for the last time in 587. This was said to be written in about 588, about a year before. Babylon has already surrounded Judah and Jerusalem. And they are surrounding the walls, and they are not allowing any food to go in or out or water to the best of their ability. There's a siege going on, and they're getting ready to go in and destroy the wall, the city, burning with fire. And you will see, if we went on later, and especially into the book of Lamentation, which is also written by Jeremiah, how the landscape was just filled with bodies because of what was going on in their refusal to turn around. I do want to say this right now before I get too far into the sermon, because this is a lesson for all of us. God is so patient and so kind and so merciful and understanding and has such abundant grace that sometimes my brothers and sisters will take his grace for granted. He's patient with us, and he's trying to do everything he can to get us to turn around, to come back to him, to come back to a way of living that pleases him. But we just persist in our stubbornness and wanting to do the thing that we want to do and live like we want to live. And the message that we should get out of the overall, that overall book of Jeremiah, is the longer you stay in your sinful patterns. Let me say it like, the longer we stay in sinful patterns, in disobedience to God, after he pleads with us to turn around and is merciful and gracious to us, giving us time and patience, trying to get us to turn around. But often we'll just take it for granted and persist in our disobedience. And the further or the longer we persist in our disobedience, the greater is his discipline on our lives. Judah will receive a great judgment, but they had so many chances. They had so many chances to turn around and say, God, yes, we hear you. We want to turn around. We want to turn back to you. We want to give up on those things that displease you. But they turn their backs, and in their own stubbornness, said, we're going to do what we're going to do. So it comes to now. Now they're surrounded. Babylon is about to destroy the city of God, the city that God had protected for so long, is about to be destroyed. They're already all around the walls. They're already all around the walls. But listen. Even though they're all around the walls, something strange happens here. Jeremiah is still being detained in the king's court under armed guards, and armed, whatever the guards were armed with in that day and time, because he's preaching the truth. Just trying to warn and get the people to turn around. Now he's under the guards of the king's home, of the palace. And Jeremiah gets a word from God that his cousin, Hanamel, is going to come and try to get him to buy some land that's in Anathoth. Now, you realize Anathoth is outside of the walls. The Babylonian army has already probably seized Anathoth. The enemy already has this land. But God tells Jeremiah that when your cousin come down there, when cuz come down there to sell you that land, Jeremiah, I want you to buy the land, because in Israel and in Judea and Israel, they always, you have to be in the family, because the land was allocated to the different families, so you couldn't sell land outside of your clan or your family. So you had to find, when you had debt, you had to find somebody in the family to sell your land to. So here comes Hamamel, and he's going to sell his land, propose the sale of his land to Jeremiah. But now realize that his land is outside the wall, and his land has probably already been taken over by the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, which are the same people. So in other words, his land is really worthless, because his land is in a war zone, and his land has already been conquered and taken from him. Who wants land that's already been conquered and is in the middle of a war zone? But Jeremiah listened to his cousin's proposal, and since his cousin used the same word that God used, he knew there was confirmation that God wants me to go ahead and buy this land. And Jeremiah acted in obedience to God and bought the land from his cousin. Bought land, I think it's 17 pieces of silver, bought land from his cousin that was worthless because it was in the enemy's territory. Now somebody will look at that and say, wait a minute, Pastor, if he bought that land and the enemy had already conquered it, had already took the land over, if he bought that land, that was a bad investment. And I can see why, because he's paying 17 pieces of silver for something that's worthless. It doesn't seem to us like it would be a good investment. And I'm here to tell you, I agree with you. It's not a good investment. It's a God investment. Because sometimes, yeah, God would have us invest in debt that when the world looks at it from a secular point of view seems like a waste. They would say, when we invest our time and our talents and our treasures, when we show up Sunday morning at church and our church gatherings, and they're out on their boats and out doing other things to enjoy life, they would say that our time at church is a bad investment. They would say the money that we support the kingdom of God with, and especially those that are generous to the kingdom of God, they would say that it's a bad investment. It's a waste of time. Those that are agnostic or those that are atheists in their pursuit would say to us, amen, that it doesn't make sense for us to invest so much in a God that we see and that they don't feel exists. They would say of the things that we give our time to, our treasures to, and our talents to, are all a bad investment. But I'm trying to tell you, my brother and sister, the thing, when you follow Christ and you give Christ your life, when you give him, like the song says, when you give your life away, it's never a bad investment. Oh, you always get more from God than you give to God. That's why the song said you just can't beat God given. No matter how hard you try, the more you give, the more he gives to you. It don't always mean in material things. Sometimes it's talking about joy. Sometimes it's talking about a peace that passes all understanding. You can't beat him. You can't beat God giving. Because, amen, the way he blesses is so amazing and so spectacular and so miraculous that you can't beat him giving no matter how hard you try. Every morning when you get up, he's giving. The only reason you woke up this morning is because God decided to give you another day's journey. That's the kind of God. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's awesome. How can I pay him for all his goodness towards me? I can't do it. I just want to let everybody know how good he's been to me. Well, they looked at it and said, well, Jeremiah, go and buy this land. When your cousin comes, go ahead and buy this land. But now, I'm going to say a couple of things. Why is all the thing, I'm going to give you two really ideas I want you to think about when you're making a God investment. And why a God investment is always a great investment. Listen to what God says. I want you to look at that last verse, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. God is saying, yeah, it's looking a little rough right now. Yes, there's a period of discipline going on. But I want to tell you, because of my love and my relationship and my covenant relationship with Israel, it ain't over yet. Yes, you will be taken away, and some of you will be in exile, some will lose their life, but my relationship with the nation is not over yet. And one day, the nation of Israel will possess this land again. So that's why I want you, Jeremiah, to go ahead and buy the land. Because Jeremiah, you've been telling them what I told you to tell them. I told you to tell them, amen, that this punishment, this discipline won't last forever. That one day the blessing will return to Israel. Now, what I need you to do, Jeremiah, is to put your money where your mouth is. So they'll know what you're saying, you believe it yourself. So Jeremiah goes and obeys God and purchases the portion of land. What a great God. What a great God he is. Now listen to this. I'm going a little bit beyond the verse. I want you to read this whole 32nd chapter so you can get the full weight of this thing. 16 said, now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. What? Let me read that again, because I definitely don't want you to miss that last part. There is nothing too hard for you. Why? Because your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Jeremiah is praying, said, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. Let me first say, The reason why a God investment is always a great investment is because of the power of God. We serve a God that's almighty and powerful and a miracle worker. There is no limit to God's power. He's able to do exceedingly above all you can ask. So if you think about what you can ask, think about what you can ask this morning. You cannot ask more than God can do. As a matter of fact, God said, anything you can ask me, not only can I do that, but I can far exceed that. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask, but not only all that you can ask, but all that you can even imagine. What an awesome God. He said, hey, this is how much power I got. This is the ability I got. I can do more than you can imagine. I can do more than you can ask me. Now, don't miss that for our lives. Because sometimes we think about that for our material possessions, but we really need to think about that for us, enabling us to live Christ-like lives. Whatever you need to live a Christ-like life, I can do above and beyond, and I can whatever you need, whatever chain you need broken, whatever power you need to overcome, whatever growth you need, whatever help you need, as far as those who walk alongside you, I'm able to do that and above in order to get you to become everything that I created you to be. Isn't that a wonderful God? That's why it's good to invest in him, because when you're investing in him, you invest in him because he is an omnipotent God. He has all powerful. That's why we say he's almighty. He has, when God says something, no one in the whole universe can stop it from happening. Nothing can thwart his purposes. He's a powerful God. He's an almighty God. He's God all by himself. Therefore, amen, we can put our trust and trust him with that we invest in him. Sometimes down here on earth, when we make investments in other things, those investments don't pay off. You can invest in businesses on the stock market or businesses individually, and they may pay off because sometimes those businesses will run into things unexpected. But God never run into something that he didn't expect, because he's omniscient. He knows everything. So he never is surprised. Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, I didn't know about that pandemic. Oh, I didn't know about that problem. Oh, I didn't know about that issue. I didn't know about this or that. God always knows. Nothing ever catches him by surprise, because he's a God, amen, that transcends time. He's in today and tomorrow at the same time, because he stands above time. He's an awesome God, and he got all power. In other words, your investment is safe. You're going to receive a good return on your investment. Everybody can't tell you that, but I can, because I'm God. And when I tell you something, I'm able to really move heaven, earth, universe. I can move everything to make things happen that I want to happen because I'm God. That's the one, brothers and sisters. That's the one. That's the God. That's the God that's not on our side. I wish Judah would have realized that when they was worshiping the little puny idol gods that had to be carried because they had no power. Why would you give up a God with all power, an omnipotent God, just to serve little puny gods that have no power? They can't help you. They can't come to your rescue. They can't open doors. They can't stop storms or carry you through storms. That can't be with you in the operating room. That can't be there when you cry out in midnight and make a difference. You need to serve the true and living God, and I'm glad to serve him. That's why I want to invest in him, because he's a worthy investment. He's worth it. Investing in. Oh, if you give yourself to him, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, he is worth investing in because he's a powerful, he's an almighty, he's an omnipotent God. Unstoppable, unlimited. Can't figure him out. He's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. Now, some of you really, I know that somebody in my listening audience, you've been patient. You're waiting for God to come through. But I'm trying to tell you, he's omniscient. He knows every time. He knows just when to come through. He'll come through on time. He's trying to get, sometimes he kind of get you to that point where all other resources are gone. And then you find out. Oh, you find it. And all you needed all the time, when all those other things that you were depending on, or people you were depending on, when all of them are not enough, God will show you that he's enough. That's the God. That's the God, my brothers and sisters, that we serve. He's amazing. Wow. He'll just blow your mind. Ain't nobody like me. So that's why I'm going to invest my life. That's why I invest my talents, my treasure, and my time in him, because I know my investment is going to pay off. I invest because I know that there's more for me than this world has to offer. Because there's nothing in this world that can satisfy me. That shows me that there had to be something else outside of this world that satisfied. And I think that's God, and I know that that's God and what God had for me. Oh, I'm just waiting on that time when I get to experience its fullness. What a God. What a great God we serve. And I want other people. I'm investing my life because I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want to take as many people. That's why I make my investment. I want to take as many people with me as I can. I want as many people to get to know Christ as I can get to know Christ. Been at Bethsaida a long time, and I was at Greater Moria before that, and I've been doing the same thing ever since I met Jesus. It's been about him, my life invested in him, trying to tell people about him. There are some other ways I could have went, could have made more money than this, but I realized I wanted to invest my time, my talent, and my treasure, and all that I am, because one of these days, this whole world down here is going to be gone. But I want, amen. It's not what kind of realizing, not kind of car you have, a house you have, or all these other things. None of those things matter. What matters is people, amen. People and their souls being able to experience God throughout eternity. And that's worth any sacrifice that I have to make. And I just need some people like those of you at the Beth and our other friends that are listening that will say with their life, Pastor, I don't know, but I'm got to the point now that it don't make no difference what happened down here, but I want to invest my life in getting people saved because I want them to have a better life, not only when they go to heaven, but on this side also. Because I know the good thing about it is God is so good. He'll allow us when we follow him to experience some heaven on this side before we get the total experience on the other side. He'll give us a little taste on this side, amen. And then when we get that little text, we'll know that it's worth it to give him everything we got. That's the kind of God that we serve. So I'm going to invest in him because of his power. He's omnipotent. He got all power. He's amazing. But not only I'm going to invest in him because of his power, but there's one more reason why I'm going to invest my life, my time, talent, treasure in God. I'm going to invest in God. I'm going to make a God investment. It's not only because of his power, but it's because of his promise. There's some things that God has promised us. You know, now I make some investments in some other areas in my finances, and sometimes if I'm making an investment that has to do with the stock market and stocks or value, I try to look if the companies or the programs and how they have performed over the last few years and see what is their performance, how much has the stock been going up, or how much money have people made on that stock, and how great the stock is. But when I look at God, and I look at what the scripture says, and my experience with God, and the experience of saints in the Bible, I learned that I can trust in his promises. Because God got a good track record. All through the scripture, whatever God has promised, he's always came through. Oh, he may not came through when the people was expecting, but he did come through. Oh, I wish I had some witnesses and I could bring some people to sit on the witness chair this morning and ask them, did God come through with what he promised you? Oh, I can bring Abraham up here, and Abraham said, hey, Abraham, did God come through what he promised you? And Abraham said, well, Tim, yeah, because he promised me that I was going to be a father of many nations. I was going to be a father of nations. He was going to make my name great. But, you know, I thought he was going to do that right away. So me and Sarai, we was, you know, we were working on that thing, but it didn't work out. So I got this idea in my own mind. How to help God out. You know what I'm saying, pal? Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I got this idea in my own mind how to help God out. So then I went to, hey, God, I just messed up things worse, trying to fix it myself. But then I trusted in God, and God came through. He came through at a time that I believe my time should have been over. I was 100. Sarah was 90. But God came through. Amen. And everybody knew it was God when we pushed the buggy through Babies R Us and saw us getting the diaper, and they thought we were grandparents. We said, oh no, God done came through. God is a good God. He will come through. You bring the witnesses after witness and the Bible, they'll tell you it's true. Can you tell me if it's true? Caleb, Joshua, can you tell me God? Oh, yes. God told us that the promised land was ours. Now, there was a spy. There were 10 guys that went out with us. And they said, Oh, no, we can't do it, because they didn't believe. They didn't believe God's promise. They didn't believe that God had already given us that land. And they said, oh, no. And they turned around and they said, we can't do it and we can't conquer. But we trusted in God. Now, we had to run around because of those others a long time. But when everybody who was against God or didn't believe God died out, Lord allowed us to go through. Tim, I'm telling you, on the witness stand, God will come through for you. You can invest in God because God always honors his promises. He'll order his promises. He'll order his promises. And I like the way sometimes y'all, because sometimes he will honor his promises. He'll let you get in that situation. When your brook dry up. Because there's no rain. And you down to your last, are you down to your last little meal? And your last little all. He'll get you there. And unexpectedly, whether it's your brook drying up or you're down to your last little all, in meal, somehow God will bring you into a connection. Well, God will come through in an amazing way. A way that's so unexpected. He'll come through. Oh, won't he come through? Elijah, yes, he'll do it. Yes, he will do it. He will honor his promises. That's why you can invest in God. I can go all the way through the Bible. Y'all know. Time and time again, how God came through on his promises. And not only doing the Bible, but I mean, there's somebody here today, somebody here listening to me on this podcast. And you can write or share with others who are listening to this same podcast and see your comment and say, yes, he came through for me yet. Too. And somebody can get, wait a minute, if you're still waiting on your breakthrough, if you're still waiting on your breakthrough, they say, oh, he hadn't came through yet, but I'm telling you, I'm still waiting on my breakthrough, and I believe he's going to come through. I'm just waiting for my time. I'm waiting my time, but I don't have no doubt, because I'm acting on my hope. Oh, I don't mean the kind of hope you say, well, maybe he's going to come, not sure, hope he come through. But I'm acting on my hope. I'm acting on the certainty that when God's word says something and when God promises me something, he's never failed me. He's never let me down. He will come through on time and come through in an amazing way that I could have never imagined, because that's the kind of God I serve. He's able to do abundantly above, beyond all I can ask and think. That's the kind of God. That's the kind of God I serve. Ooh. He is amazing. He is wonderful. I can understand why Jeremiah went and bought the land, because God said, hey, it's going to be yours again. I ain't taking it away forever. You won't be in exile forever. Trouble won't last always. Somehow I'm just going to get you back to where you need to be. I'm disciplining you, but I'm not giving up on you. I'm not quitting on you. I'm disciplining you. I'm still working with you. Even some of you going to be in exile, and I'm going to bless you while you're in exile. If you don't believe, go ask old man Daniel, you're in exile, but am I still taking care of you? Yes, Lord. Even when I was in a lion's den, you watched over me all night long. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when I still take care of you? Yes. We were thrown in a fiery furnace. You still took care of us. What about Esther? Esther, didn't I raise you up to be queen? Yes, but not only did you raise me up to be queen, but you saved our people and you gave me courage to speak up before the king. I know you will come through in amazing ways. I know you'll come through in amazing ways. That's why I'm going to invest in you. I just want somebody this morning, somebody in this podcast, say, come what will, come what may, rain, see the storm, path, I already done sold out. I already done bought in because I know he's a good investment. I'm already cashing all my, I'm putting all my chips on the table. I'm all in for God. I'm investing my whole life, my everything, my reputation, everything. I'm investing in God because I know God will bring me through. I know God. I know he will bring me through. And I give him all. Because it ain't mine anyway. He gave me everything I got anyway. So I'm only giving him what he gave me. I'm just giving it back to him. Because he's such an amazing God. Oh, he's a wonderful God. And he's worthy to be praised. Oh, he's worthy to be praised. My brothers and sisters, he's worthy to be praised all day long. Because of his goodness towards us. I'm making an investment. I don't want to invest everything in this world. I don't want everything I do to be about this world. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world? To have the car, the house, the popularity. Gain the whole world and lose my soul. I don't want to lose my soul. He already saved me and changed me and redeemed me. And I want to do the same. Share the word of God, the gospel, and disciple others so that they can have that same amazing experience with this amazing God. This amazing God that I serve. Because, you know, really, what Jeremiah was looking forward to, not only the time when they get back out of exile, but you're really looking forward to that new covenant when he's talking about new heart. And they shall be my people and I'll be their God. He's talking about kind of that new covenant thing that's going to come. He's really looking forward to that Jesus that died Friday on that old rugged cross for us. But he's not dead now because 3 days later, early Sunday morning, he rose. He rose with all power in his hand. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Will you buy the field? Will you make the investment? Will you give God your all? Will you surrender to him? Will you say like Jeremiah, yes? Because Jeremiah said, now I want to tell you, when you give it all, don't think it's going to be easy thing. Because I've been around here 4 decades preaching. Haven't had no convert that I know of. The only one I can kind of depend on is Barak because he's my personal assistant. I've kind of helped him out a little bit. But everybody else been turning their back on me. But I kept preaching what God told me to preach. They called me a traitor. They drug my name through the mud. Family turned their back on me until they needed something. And now they're coming around trying to get something out of me. But all of the long, amen, I've been laughed at. I've been slapped. I've been put down in the pit with mud. I've been in jail. All of this. Reason why I didn't give up. The reason why I didn't stop. Even when I wanted to stop, because I realized it was a good investment because it was a God investment. That's all I want you to do, people. Listen, audience. Make a God investment this morning. The bigger the investment, the bigger the return. God does return nicely. Oh, Lord Jesus. Ooh, he returns so much for what we give him. God is good. God is so good. Make a God investment this morning with your life. He's waiting on you. if you like somebody that's listening to all of you, like Judah, you know, there's areas in your life you need to turn over to God and say, God, whatever I got to do, I need to get back to you. Because I know the longer I stay out here, the bigger the mess I'm making. I got to come back. I need to be the person that you created me to be. He's waiting on you this morning. He's waiting on you this morning. Well, let me see if I can find this little song for y'all this morning. Just give me a second here. As the song is playing, I just want you to look at God. Think about God. Think about God. And how He's blessed you. How wonderful He's been. And do you want to make that investment in Him this morning? All right, I'm gonna play a selection here. You know, I don't have Gavin here, so ain't no telling what y'all out of here, but hopefully it'll elevate you and give you some joy in the goodness of God. And after we'll come back and close out for the day. All right, commercial and all. Wow. All right, here we go. That was good. All right, so he is a good God. Amen. We need to be found praising him for his goodness. Amen. I moved a little bit out the box this morning, but hope you got the word. Thank all of you for joining in, spending time with us this morning and in our podcast. Looking forward to seeing you next week on the 4th of July weekend, and we are hoping to be in the worship facility beginning in July. We're hoping, if the weather cooperates, to be inside on the first and third Sundays and outside on the second Sunday. So we see you then. Hope everything is great with your families. We'll be in prayer and just pray that God blesses us to go and do mighty things. Thank you all you for your prayers, and let's pray for the pastor this evening as I go back to Houston, that everything, give him traveling grace. Amen. And for that little trip, I can't drive like some of y'all that drive all the time there for, but we'll see what we can do. And so thank you so much, and we're going to see what we can have get going on, because it's going to be actually on the 4th of July. So that's going to be really interesting, y'all. So we're going to have a good time on that. Hopefully, as you leave this, you'll leave this with a mind that says, oh, thinking about ideas. What more can I invest in the kingdom? What more can I invest in God? How else can I make a God investment? What other kind of God investment can I make with my life? Because none of us know how long we got left, but we all be willing to give everything we got to the God of our goodness. And so have a great Sunday. Now, if y'all listen to this recording, it's going to be a couple of little commercials on there. I'll have a commercial. Yeah, y'all know I was trying. I did the best I can. Amen. So, yeah, just go with it. Hey, the commercial need a little pub, too. So we thank God for the commercial. They give us the YouTube thing for, they pay for the YouTube thing. So we appreciate it. Have a great Lord's Day. Be blessed throughout the week, and be safe until we see you again. May God bless you.